I love you.
So, hello and welcome back to Bebo's Legends podcast. We're a rewatch podcast, so we watch an episode each week and then talk about it together. My name is Elias and this is the rest of our team.
Hi, I'm Carrie.
Hi, I'm Nisi.
Yeah, Nisi!
Finally, she's here. So, this week's episode was called Blood Ties and was written by Mark Guggenheim and Chris Fedak and directed by Dermot Downes.
What did you think of episode 3? Overall, on a whole.
I really think that episode 3 was the episode where I texted Nisi the most while watching it for the first time.
Texted her good things or texted her bad things?
Basically, the one big thing I can remember was when Sarah was like, resurrection comes with a price. My friend Thea calls it a bloodlust, but I think that's too generous, and so is calling me an animal. I'm a monster. And I paused and texted Nisi, no, baby, you're not a monster. Everyone has a bloodlust at times, and it can be an advantage.
I wrote down about that as well. I felt so bad for her, but it's like such an important moment for Sarah because it then shows her growth as she moves forwards because she really does hate what she's become.
She does.
Yep.
It's so sad.
It hurts so much watching that. It hurts so much.
Yeah, it was really sad. But I do think it's a really important moment because that character has had an incredible journey.
Yes. Who would have thought in the first season that she'd become the time mom at some point?
Had to get that in there, didn't you? Nisi, what was your overall take?
I actually liked the episode very much. Like, all in all, it was a very great episode.
I agree.
My things, so yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I thought it had everything that you want. It had emotion, it had action, it had a bit of humor. It was great. I thought it was good. Good episode.
Yeah.
Good job. Yeah. Well done.
Like, what was your favorite moment in the episode?
My favorite is, I don't know, probably when Rip and Sarah go on the recon mission and she's like, oh, I don't dance, and then they dance and then they pretend to be drunk and take down those guys. I like
that. Yeah, same. Although I saw a little stunt mistake while taking down the guys.
Really? Tell us.
Basically, because of the height difference, that headbutt didn't work or wouldn't have worked. She would have just hit him straight in the chest.
Yeah, but it was so badass. Like, I love a good headbutt. We call them slow kisses up here, and I've got a lot of time. Elias, tell me what's on your dirty mind right now.
I'm not dirty. Just I remember, I don't know which video chat between the two of us it was, if it was either you freaking out or me freaking out, when you told me about that this was kind of your signature move, the headbutt, because you loved it. I think that was when I was freaking out and getting drunk.
Yeah. Because I think we're talking about getting in fights with people. But yeah, the headbutt was classic. It was so, like, maybe it wouldn't have landed. Maybe it wasn't very realistic because she's not very tall. But we call them a Glasgow kiss. Any Scottish people that are listening to it, when they seen that, every single one of us were like, yes! Go on! It's a good move. I've got a lot of time for it. She could headbutt me any day of the week. Repeatedly, I'd let her.
Me not, please. Because then I get migraines and that's not funny.
No, it's not, but I would still let her headbutt me.
Well, my favorite moments were when they made the Titanic reference. I love this. I was laughing because Victor Garber, who plays Martin Stein, is actually the actor who played the dude who built the Titanic.
Yeah, that's a good. They mentioned the Titanic a couple of times to him throughout the show. I think they do it again, and he says like
that the guy who built that should be shot.
Yes.
And also Sarah's slow-mo walk into the bank, like that's just screaming, "Hello, I'm bisexual and I'm a queen." So. Get out of my way.
She's a biker.
Yes, she is.
I've never
heard. I love that moment.
I love it.
I love that.
She is an absolute queen. I think, though, this time I only wrote down Sarah as a badass 4 times. I don't know how that compares to the other ones, but it's not as much. It can't be.
It's not. Definitely not.
So, what was your favorite part, Elias?
My favorite part... I think like also the scene with Rip and Sarah dancing, because I've actually written down something about that. Because I actually kind of hate that Rip Sarah shipping, but I have to say that scene was kind of cute, especially Rip like kind of flirting with Sarah. I don't know, I thought it was cute. And like the last fight scene where they try to save Carter's body. Or not save, I forgot.
Retrieve,
thank you. I forgot the English word for a second. Because I love fight scenes, it was pretty badass. And because Sarah, like, managed to find a way to not kill that stupid little fucker. And also, I have to say, that the dude with like the are they called Isaacs, who looks kind of like a vampire.
Okay.
I think you know who I mean.
Yeah.
That dude reminded me so much of Renfield from Dracula, and I don't know why. I really don't. Because I didn't look like that.
He does look kind of deadly, doesn't he? Like deathly.
Nah, he really kind of looks like Renfield, because Renfield is like Dracula's most obedient servant, and he kind of is that to Savage, and he looks like a vampire.
Yeah, I've never seen it, so I can tell you.
I also haven't seen it, I just played the musical last year in high school,
and
I was Renfield. That's why I said I didn't look like that.
What was your least favorite moment?
I really, although I kind of like the intention behind it, Snart talking to young him and to his father, I don't know. It was just really weird to watch.
Yeah, I get that.
What about you guys?
My least favorite part was when Professor Stein pretended that he knew who Ray was.
Oh, yeah.
I just felt like that was out of character for both of them. I don't feel like Stein's portrayed as the kind of guy who would tell lies as you move forward. But I also don't feel like Ray is the kind of guy who would be like, I know you were lying because I remembered. I feel like he would, like, as his character progresses, you see him as more of a very innocent, very accepting and an open man. And he doesn't seem like the kind of guy who would be like, I know you were lying to me. So I just felt like he was out of place a little bit for them, but that was my least favorite part.
Also, what I just saw, I wrote down, Sarah's acting abilities get worse throughout the seasons, because her drunk acting was really on point. But if you watch like later seasons, she's the worst actor on this earth.
I think though that as the seasons go on, she stops needing to pretend all the time. Like, see, just now she's put herself together in a way where she's got this front that she's very strong and very powerful, and she's coping and she's managing, but you keep seeing these little snippets of her, and she's not that. She's emotional and she's struggling, and she doesn't like what she's become. So she's constantly acting, she's constantly doing that. But as she moves forwards in season 2, 3, 4, 5, she starts to feel safer around the people that she's with. She starts changing. She gets the bloodlust under control. She doesn't need to spend every single day pretending that she's not who she is. She becomes more authentic. And I think maybe that's why. Because if you're acting every day.
Let's get back to the actual question, Nisi. What was your least favorite part?
I had similar least favorite parts as you guys. Like, I get where Stein was coming from, like encouraging Ray and stuff. But I knew that he was lying because, I don't know, I just had that feeling when I first watched these episodes. And I don't know.
Yeah.
And also Snart taking, you know, talking to himself and his father about the future, which is rule number one that you should not do.
So what was the most meaningful moment for you in the episode? As in, you know what's coming, you know what's happening in the rest of the series. So what did you see just now that meant you could understand the character better later? We're gonna have a whole bunch of dead air to just cut.
Jesus. At first I wanted to say Sarah being I'm a monster, but I think more meaningful was Rip telling Sarah that killing doesn't make her a monster, but having the chance to kill the dude that kills your family to prevent him from killing your family, and not doing it, is making you much more of a monster. Why are you laughing?
Wow. Killing the dude that you were going to kill because they killed someone. It was just a whole big thing. That's cool. No, I get it. Yeah. That was one of the ones I was going to say. I had a few that I thought were really important. I thought that part with Rip and Sarah was important. I think I wrote it down. Bear with caller. I might have wrote it down, but I need to find out which page I wrote it on. Having the opportunity to avenge your family and not taking it makes you a monster. That's what he says. And I do think that's quite important. The whole thing that Sarah opening up to Rip about the fact that she does think of herself so, like, she doesn't think very highly of herself at all. I think that that's quite important to her, realizing that opening up to her team is going to be good for her. But I also thought it was quite important that we found out why Ray built his suit in the first place. Like, he talked about it a bit in Arrow, but this is the first time he's mentioned it on Legends, that he built it because he wanted to be able to protect people after seeing his fiancée die. And I think that's really important when you then see him interacting with different people that he loves. So when you see him with Nora in the future and he tries to protect her and things like that, I think it's really important that you learn that about him quite early on.
Yeah.
It's your turn, Nisi.
I don't know what to say.
You don't have to say anything. You can just be, no, I don't have any. That's cool. You're good. I spun this on everybody last week and nobody had an answer, so it's all good.
But I have something to say. Something.
Go ahead.
Like, can we have a moment for Sarah walking around like a queen and, like, having secret knives literally everywhere?
Absolutely. She does it a lot, doesn't she? She's always got knives tucked away in random places, even when she doesn't need them. When they go to Woodstock and they're fighting the unicorn, she pulls out her back pocket. Like, she's always got knives. She's smart. But people watching, we do not condone carrying of weapons. If you choose to do that and you get arrested, that is on you, not on us.
Yes.
Generally speaking about the episode, was there any sort of moments that happened that you thought, like, yeah, that was a good moment? Not necessarily your favorite, but a good one anyway.
I just wrote down a quote from Sarah when she's talking to Rip about taking away Savage's fortune. Take away his fortune? He's just a guy with a really long lifespan.
Yeah, I like that because it's bringing out like a little bit of humor. Like, she's not taking it all very, very seriously. Like, I like that.
And Sarah saying, "I'm not much of a dancer," and then saying in season 3 to Ava on her date that she is a dancer.
I feel like she doesn't mean that she doesn't dance. I feel like she doesn't want to dance. So she tries to get out of it by telling people, like, you know, like, so let's say you sing. That's your talent that you do, and you're at a party and people are like, "Oh, Elias is such a great singer." And you're like, "Oh, no, I don't sing," because you just can't be arsed being asked, "Oh, sing this for us. So I feel like it's like that. She's like, "Oh, I don't dance." But she knows she dances. See, as soon as she starts dancing with him and she's like all proper, she knows she dances. I mean, we know she dances. She's a liar. Yeah, in every episode I have something to say about how the women are doing all these badass fights, and I find it so brilliant. And it happened again in this episode when they're at the sort of last big fight of the episode, and Rip tells Snart and Rory to get Carter's body out, and then he shouts, "Sarah!" And she says, like, "I've got it," or "I'll take care of it," or something. She gets up and just starts kicking everybody's ass. Like, she's so badass.
Yep.
Like, why rely on the people with guns when you've got Sarah Lance?
Exactly.
Definitely.
Wicked. Anybody got anything they want to add to the episode before we move on to the quiz section?
How does Ray get out of Kendra again? That sounded so wrong. But, like, really, how?
So if you're listening to this podcast and you would like to contribute to our experience, I guess, please answer the following question. How does Ray get out of Kendra?
Like, he's in her bloodstream, so they must have some kind of hole in... Jesus Christ.
Which hole does he come out of?
Like, something in one of her arteries where he can fly out of.
Oh. Can I say something?
Please.
I found a mistake. Like, I don't know if it's a mistake, but in the German version of Legends, they're always writing the city there.
But they do it in the English one too.
And on Prime Video, I watched the episode on Prime Video, and they say it, and I watch it in English, but the writing is still in German. Like, yeah. And at the beginning, they're like in Leipzig in Germany.
Yep.
But the German city thing where they blend in, where they are, says they are in Zurich in Switzerland.
That's weird.
Right.
Maybe there was just an error in the sort of subtitlings or something like that for the...
Because I was so confused. I first wrote down Zürich, and then Gideon said they are in Leipzig, and I was like, what?
That's really strange, because it... And I would also like to just quickly say to anyone listening, we endorse all streaming platforms, not just Prime Video.
Our next section, as we always have it in our podcast, is going to be the quiz section. And who wants to start with their questions?
Okay, I'm going to go first. I need to be able to look at the screen at the same time. Oh, shit. Okay. I have questions. Where did the legends start the episode? Elias!
Leipzig, 1975.
Oh, that was my next question, was when, but yeah, that was it.
Wait.
Yeah, I'm waiting! But where does the episode open? Yes, Nisi!
Ancient Egypt in 1700 before Christ.
Yeah. Well done. What does Rip use as a weapon in the bank? Elias.
A coat hanger.
Yeah, coat stand. Hanger. Thingy-majig. Yeah, coat thingy. When are they going in the next episode? Elias?
1986?
Yeah! And how likely does Gideon say it is that Savage is going to be there? Nisi? No, not Nisi. Elias?
98%.
Yeah, well done. At the beginning of the episode, Rip Turner makes a big speech in which he references two characters from the DC universe. Who are they? Elias?
Superman and Batman? Yeah.
Yeah, bonus point if you can recite the quote.
I've seen blah 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 taking down a Man of Steel and the Dark Knight.
Men of Steel fall. No, I've seen Men of Steel die and Dark Knights fall.
Yeah.
And that's iconic because The Dark Knight Rises is a Batman thing. Boom, boom. Shh. Yeah, that's me. Anyone else want to go?
Nisi, you go first?
No, you can.
Okay, then I will.
No, you hang up first. No, you hang up.
Shut up. So, how many knives does Sarah carry in the bank? Kari?
5.
3. Why does Snart steal the Maximilian Emerald? Kari?
He steals it with the hopes that his dad will not go to jail for it.
And why doesn't that work out?
His dad gets caught trying to sell it to an undercover police officer.
Did I just take away two of your questions, Nisi?
Where was or is Savage's money saved? At which bank?
Elias. Bloomberg Bank?
It's the Bloomberg Group, but yes.
And actually, the German pronunciation would be Brunberg Bank Group.
Well, but English people don't know that.
Yeah. Just wanted to put it out there.
Then, next question is, where is Carter's body held? Elias?
In a vault in the Brunberg Group called the Vessel.
No. Kari?
Oh, fuck. the Grey Hall building? No?
Almost. It's the Grey Hill building.
Oh, man.
But isn't it in the system of the bank as the Vessel?
Yeah, but that's what they're calling his body.
Jesus.
And I have one more. How long hasn't Savage seen Rip?
4,000 years.
Yes. And my last one. Moment. One moment. What did Savage call Rip when, I mean, what did he call him? Which name? Elias?
Rippon?
No. Kari?
Kari?
Yes!
Shit.
Sorry. Scared my baby. Very violent celebration. Okay. Are we happy with the quiz? I feel like I won. I always feel like I won, and I definitely don't.
So our next section is going to be Who Said It? And if you listened to last week's episode, we actually did it there for the first time. And the concept is pretty simple. Kari is going to give us a quote from the episode. And whoever is with us recording is going to compete to answering Who Said It, as the name suggests.
The first quote is, "The man who is here to kill you." Nisi.
Rip.
Yeah, who does he say it to?
Savage.
Well done. Okay, this is a big
one. Yeah, right.
This is a big one, so bear with me, because I really liked this monologue. I thought it was good, and it's not often that you hear these. So, to sum up. Carter Hall's dead, the girlfriend's not too far behind. Vannel Savage is sitting pretty in 1975, which is where we're all stuck in. Is that how the plan's supposed to work then, Rip? I don't know who stuck their hand up first, that was reading.
I think Nisi was me, wasn't it?
Nisi went first, you go Elias.
Rory.
Yeah, well done. I only wrote that one down because you don't often hear him doing the big speeches. You know, he usually just does like the odd line. So I thought it was fun.
Yeah.
Simple don't mean easy, Captain. Elias.
Smart.
Yeah. I don't need to ask you who he said it to because it's pretty fucking clear he says Captain at the end of it. So, you know. History screwed with me first. Nisi.
Snart.
Who do you say it to?
Jax.
And
Rory.
Yeah, Baba. I believe he finds my presence rather comforting. Elias.
Martin to Ray while he's in Kendra's veins, because Ray says Jax must be really annoyed by having you in his head.
Yeah,
or something like that.
Does anybody else have any quotes that they? In fact, let's not add more because I still have some for the finish the quote section, and I don't want to use them all in this section. So yeah, that's the end of the Who Said It this week. And if you played along at home, I hope you got all the answers right. Well done.
We're going to make a like slide thingy in our Instagram story so you can tell us how many you got.
Yeah, that's a great idea. So the next segment that we're going to do is a brand new segment to the podcast. A little fun behind the scene bit of information for you is I came up with this idea tonight, right before coming on here to record. And as we logged in, Nisi said that she had also came up with a really great idea. And it turns out we both had the same brilliant idea. So great minds think alike.
Actually, the German version of great minds think alike is Zwei Dumme, ein Gedanke, which translates to two idiots, one thought.
Yeah, that works too. I'm good with that. Awesome. And in honor of it being her first recording, we're going to let Nisi go first.
Okay. If you can't kill your enemy, weaken him. If you can't cut off his head...
Sorry. That was at the same time.
Take his heart.
Yeah. Who says that?
Sarah. Sorry.
Okay.
I don't get to answer questions. I only get to ask them. I got too excited.
Your turn.
You only have one.
Okay. A priceless jewel that needs to be... Elias.
Freed from captivity. And it was said by Leonard Snart.
Well done. We know how to keep banks. Nisi.
And money.
No. Elias.
We're basically bankiers or whatever they are called in English. I just forgot the word. Except we get the money out.
Yeah, we're practically bankers, except we...
Bankers.
Yeah. What the hell are... Nisi?
Parachute pants.
Yes! Well done. Who said it, though?
Jack.
Ray.
Yeah.
And I would have loved for, like, either Ray or Martin saying, like, you don't want to know. So, our next segment's gonna be the hypothetical fight, which we borrowed from Steve Lamell's podcast, How'd You Do It? Because we think it's a really good idea. So, sorry, Stephen, for borrowing it without asking, if you're listening to this.
We all know he's listening. We all know.
Yeah.
The idea here is that you're going to be given two characters and you're going to think very carefully and go into great detail about how they would win the fight, what they would do, why they would win. And this week's characters are the wonderful Sarah Lance, and she is going up against the Black Widow. Take it away, folks.
The thing is, I haven't seen much of Black Widow because the only Marvel movie I've ever seen is Endgame and Captain Marvel.
She's a trained assassin.
Yeah, I know that. But so is Sarah.
That's why I thought it was a good fight.
But I still think that Sarah would win. Are we talking about Sarah at this point in the show or at a later point, like after she was stuck in 1960?
The thing is that either or, I guess, you can pick any version because I feel like there's three significant versions of Sarah that would all have different outcomes in the fight. You've got the Sarah from right now. In episode 3, you've got Sarah from after she's done her second set of time with the League, and then you've got Sarah in season 5. And I think that each version would have different tactics and style of fighting.
So I'm going to go with, after she had the second time with the League, because then I think Sarah would win, because, like, she underwent the training with the League of Assassins a second time, which I think made her even stronger and more tactical and more trained than she was the first time.
She was definitely more disciplined after she'd done the second time with the League. But I think that, like, if you look at all three different versions of Sarah, so, like, right now's version would go straight into that fight with the same tactics and skills that she has, however, with a lot of anger. And it would be a fight to the death. The bloodlust would take over as soon as she's having that combat with someone who's an equal partner. I think that the bloodlust would take a really big part, and that could be the thing that pushes her just that little bit ahead of Black Widow, because I feel like they're on even grounds.
But bloodlust actually makes her less tactical, because she's just like, I want to kill, I want to kill, I want to kill, and doesn't think of tactics in that moment.
That's true, that's true. But then I think you're right by saying that the Sarah, after she's had her sort of bloodlust fixed and she's done her next set of time with the League, I reckon that hands down she would beat Black Widow. But Black Widow's, depending on which version of her you take, because some comic books have her being having abilities, and that's why she's like, she's supposed to have slow aging and super powers of sorts, but she's badass. Like, they're on pretty even grounds at that point. I think it would be a good fight to watch. I think it would be a long fight. I don't think it would be over very quickly. I think it would go down to their stamina and things, like, to see who would win, who can take the most punches, and I don't know. But if it was Sarah from season 5, I think Black Widow's got that in the bag.
Why?
Because I think that as the show goes on, she loses a bit of her combat and does more leadership. And she's not, I know she's got a lot more to lose, but love can make you softer. It can make you apprehensive. It can make you scared of losing. And that might be that split second decision. They're so evenly matched fighters that one thing could be the thing is that makes her lose.
Yeah, I get that.
Me too.
In the podcast that I watched with Stephen, he asked Katie the same question, but with a different fighter. I can't remember who he chose, but it was between her and Sarah. And Katie said that the season 5 version of Sarah would be softer, because she's in love. However, she said that the earlier version of Sarah, the Sarah from like season 2 of Arrow and the start of Legends, would seduce the woman that she was fighting and kill her during lovemaking. That was her
That's a great answer. That's a great answer.
So yeah, I think this would be a good one to put out to all of our listeners. So have a look out for it on our Instagram page. We will hopefully remember to upload this. This is Saturday, and we are going to be giving you this podcast on Tuesday. So please look out for that when we remember to post it. Who would win between Black Widow and the White Canary? Before we close up the podcast this week, I'd just like to quickly discuss the title of the episode being Blood Ties. Where do you think that title came from? Because there's a couple of different reasons they could have picked it. For example, the fact that they're using Carter's blood, or the fact that it's focusing on Sarah's bloodlust. Or what do you think?
My first thought was actually like them drinking Carter's blood, because it kind of ties them to him because they ingested his blood.
I think there's so many different mentions of blood throughout the episode. I think it was a really clever title for it.
So this week's episode sadly is coming to an end, but next week we're going to discuss the 4th episode of the first season called White Knights. And if you have something to say to us about either this week's episode or next week's episode, you can contact us on social media. We have Instagram, where you can actually email us if you want to, or just DM us, and Twitter. Both are just at @Bebo/podcast.
Awesome. Thanks for listening. Bye.
Bye.
Bebo's Legends Podcast. I love you too.